Amen. We're continuing to look at the book of Acts. We're up now to Acts chapter 12. And this is probably a familiar story to many of us, and I want to read through the story, but the focus won't be the story itself, but the very last verse is what I'd like to focus on. But let's go ahead and remember this story. It was about this time that King Herod arrested some who belonged to the church, intending to persecute them. He had James, the brother of John, put to death with the sword. When he saw that this pleased the Jews, he proceeded to seize Peter also. This happened during the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And after arresting him, he put him in prison, handing him over to be guarded by four squads of four soldiers each. Herod intended to bring him out for public trial after the Passover. And so Peter was kept in prison, but the church was earnestly praying to God for him. The night before Herod was to bring him to trial, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers bound with two chains, and sentries stood guard at the entrance. And suddenly an angel of the Lord appeared, and a light shone in the cell. He struck Peter on the side and woke him up. "Quick, get up," he said, and the chains fell off of Peter's wrists. And then the angel said to him, "Put on your clothes and sandals," and Peter did so. "Wrap your cloak around you and follow me," the angel told him. Peter followed him out of the prison, but he had no idea that what the angel was doing was really happening. He thought he was seeing a vision. And they passed the first and the second guards and came to the iron gate leading to the city. It opened for them by itself, and they went through it. When they had walked the length of one street, suddenly the angel left him. And then Peter came to himself and said, "Now I know without a doubt that the Lord sent his angel and rescued me from Herod's clutches and from everything the Jewish people were anticipating." And here's the one that I want to focus on. When this had dawned on him, he went to the house of Mary, the mother of John, also called Mark, where many people had gathered and were praying. Now, the thing that's interesting about this is, and I always love it when I choose these scriptures and they just kind of come out on the right day. But Mary was a woman of prayer. You may remember that after Jesus ascended into heaven, or before he ascended into heaven, he told his disciples to return to Jerusalem and wait until they were clothed with power on high. They didn't know it then, but he was referring to the outpouring of the Holy Spirit that would empower them to be able to live as faithful followers of Jesus. And so they went back to Jerusalem, and Mary, the mother of John Mark, invited them to her home. And she turned her house into a prayer center in Jerusalem. And it wasn't just for a Wednesday night prayer meeting once a week. We're told in Acts chapter 1, verse 14, that they gathered in the house of Mary, the mother of John Mark, and they constantly devoted themselves to prayer. They were there 24/7. And then we see glimpses as we read through the book of Acts of the church gathered for prayer in the house of Mary, the mother of John Mark. They were there in Acts chapter 4 when Peter and John were first threatened. They were told they better not ever preach in the name of Jesus again in the temple square. And the church came together and they prayed. And after they prayed, it says in Acts 4:31, the place where they had prayed was shaken. And they were all filled anew with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with even more boldness, even though they'd been threatened not to speak it at all. And now we see them again. Peter is thrown into prison. James had been executed. The church continued to pray in the house of Mary, the mother of John Mark. She was a woman of prayer. And I believe that there are few things on this planet that are more powerful than a praying mother. From the time I took my first church at the age of 28, I found that there were women there who prayed serious prayers. Helen Eaton was one of the women there at Trinity, the first congregation I pastored. And then I moved on to Meadow Branch, and Anna Petrie was a woman, a serious woman of prayer. And then I moved from Meadow Branch to Briary Branch, and it was in many ways, that was descriptive. And Hilma Long was a woman of prayer. And my last congregation, three sisters from the congregation every Wednesday met with me, laid hands on me, and prayed over me. And one of those was Dolores Miller. I've found that women have a way of having a connection with God that many of us as men don't have. And I've wondered about that. I've studied the scriptures, tried to figure out some theological explanation for that. But Richard Foster, who some of us went to the Renovare conference a couple of weeks ago, and many of us have read his, I think it was his first book, Celebration of Discipline. And in the chapter in that book that talks about prayer, he says that many times, you know, we pray and our prayers seem to have little results, and we kind of beat up on ourselves. We think that our prayers have little result because our faith isn't strong enough. And Foster says that often it's not that we don't have enough faith. In fact, he says, Jesus said that faith the size of a mustard seed can move mountains, and most of us have at least that much faith. He said, often our prayers aren't answered in the way that we hope that they're answered, not because we lack faith, but because we lack that sort of heartache in our prayer. And I think that's why mom's prayers have a tendency to get answered. Because, guys, listen, you know, one of our children fall down and scuff up their knee, and we say, get over it, you know, come on, if they're a boy, be a man, you know, and moms, you know, run to them and say, oh, let me kiss the boo-boo, and, you know, moms have that kind of heart connection with children, and God reads the prayers of our hearts, and so the solution is not necessarily to get a whole bunch of women praying for us, a whole bunch of moms praying for us, but men, we need to learn to pray from the heart. And I'm going to say a little bit about that a bit later. I want to share with you a couple of sentences from Stormy O'Martian's book entitled The Power of a Praying Parent. I believe that God invests in every parent. And let me say that you may be here today and you may never have had children, but you are needed as a parent in an increasingly parentless society that we live in. And that film, Courageous, that's one of the issues that film tackles, particularly as it relates to fathering. All of us can serve as spiritual parents to the many children who need to be parented. And so Stormy writes this in her book, The Power of a Praying Parent. It's the best of jobs. It's the most difficult of jobs. It can bring you the greatest joy. It can cause the greatest pain. There is nothing as fulfilling and exhilarating, and there's nothing so depleting and exhausting as being a parent. But I have good news. We don't have to be tossed and turned by these winds of change. Our children's lives don't ever have to be left to chance. We don't have to pace the floor anxiously, biting our nails, gnawing our knuckles, dreading the terrible twos or torturous teens. at every stage of their lives. Our children need and will be greatly benefited from our prayers. The key is not to try to do everything ourselves, but rather turning to the expert parent of all time, our Father God. Don't ever underestimate the power of a praying parent. Prayer is much more than just giving a list of our desires to God, as if God were a great sugar daddy or Santa Claus in the sky. Prayer is acknowledging and experiencing the presence of God ourselves, and inviting His presence into our lives and circumstances. It's speaking the presence of God and releasing the presence and power of God, which gives us the means to overcome any problem. Never underestimate the power of a praying parent. There are few things on this planet that are more powerful, that are more potent than the power of a mother's prayer, a father's prayer. Well, there are three reasons why this is so, and I'm going to be really brief. I also want to tell you about some land in Florida that I can sell really cheap. I'll try to be brief. The first reason why we need to really press into God and increase our prayers for our children and our grandchildren, our nieces, our nephews, the children in this community, is that while we have to sleep sometimes, God never sleeps. And we all know as parents and as grandparents that parenting can really wear you out. And, you know, there are times when, I tell you, I was crazy. Literally certifiable the first 6 months of my parenting, because I'm a very light sleeper, and when Matt would wake up in the middle of the night and I would get awake, I couldn't go back to sleep. And after 6 months, I had a severe case of sleep deprivation. And then... You know, just like that, Matt was 16, had a driver's license, and got a job at Hershey Park. And once again, I couldn't sleep until he got home at night, you know? And sometimes they would close the park at 10 o'clock, and then the employees would keep the rides open. Some of you have been employees, obviously, at Hershey Park. And they would, some nights he wouldn't get home till 1 o'clock in the morning, no matter what time he got home. I was awake until I heard the car drive into our house. See, the reason we need to turn our children over to the living and loving God is that God never sleeps. Listen to this psalm. I'd be surprised if many of you couldn't quote this from memory. I lift my eyes to the hills, from whence does my help come? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your feet slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. And so, as parents, we need to turn our children over to one who never sleeps, so that we can get some sleep. Okay. Second reason it's so important that we become praying parents. And again, this is a message not just for those of us who are biological parents and grandparents, but all of us as Christians need to exercise spiritual parenting in the world in which we live. Second reason that our prayers have some effect is that God hears the prayers of our hearts. In fact, you know, a lot of times we're reluctant to pray, certainly in public. I mean, for some of us, we couldn't think of it. You know, we'd rather go to Afghanistan as a Marine than being invited to say a prayer in public, you know? What we don't understand is that the language with which we pray doesn't matter at all to God, because God doesn't really listen to our words so much as to our hearts. And I think that's why the prayers of mothers are so effective, because God hears the prayers of our hearts. And there's, you know, that wonderful passage in Romans chapter 8 where Paul says, don't worry about how you pray, for the Spirit intercedes on our behalf with sighs and groans too deep for words. God can completely understand what we're saying through our sighs and through our groans. And so don't worry about the perfection of the grammar in your prayers, because God listens to the prayers of our hearts. And then there's a third thing, and that is that God is able to do what we're not able to do. You know, we have certain human limitations, but God isn't constrained to live within the boundaries of our human limitations. In fact, Paul puts it this way in the benediction that he writes to his letter to the church in Ephesus. He said, "And now unto him who is able to do far more exceedingly abundantly beyond all that we ask or can even imagine." You see, our God is able to do what we can't even imagine. And so don't worry about praying seemingly impossible prayers, because we have a God who is able to do far more exceedingly abundantly than all that we ask or can even imagine. Our God neither slumbers nor sleeps. Our God is constantly listening to the urgent prayers of our hearts. Our God is able to do far more exceedingly abundantly than all that we ask or even imagine. I love this Billy Graham quote. You've heard me say it before. He said, "Heaven is full of answers to prayers that have never been prayed." And so today, I want you to reach for one of those answers. And I'd like to close us with a time of prayer. And maybe you don't have faith the size of a mustard seed today. Maybe this has been a pretty tough week. I talked to somebody at the early service who came out and said, "Boy, it's been a really, really tough week." And we all have those kinds of weeks. Some days. Seems like a week. But I have some faith today that I want to share with you. And so this is what I'd like to do in closing. I'd like you to think of that person or that circumstance or situation that needs some prayer. And I'd like you to just kind of silently lift up the name of that person or that circumstance, that situation. And I'm going to give you a chance to think of that and then silently lift it up before the Lord. And then I'm going to pray over that with as much faith and compassion as I can muster. And if you brought a little extra faith and compassion with you today, I want you to join in with me so that we can see some prayers answered today. Now, often, I think God often chooses to work through the natural. But when God is unable to work through the natural, God chooses to work through the supernatural. And some of your prayers today may need a supernatural answer. We have a God who is able to do far more exceedingly abundantly than all that we ask or can even imagine. Let's pray together. Remember, I'm going to give you a chance to lay that prayer concern out before the Lord. Just take a moment to think about it. Now, if you feel comfortable taking hold of the hand of the person next to you, do that. If you don't feel comfortable with that, don't worry about it. But I want to pray together. Lord, I believe in my heart of hearts that there is nothing more powerful than the prayers of your people. And I believe that what Billy Graham said is true, that heaven is full of answers to prayers that we're reluctant to pray because it just seems too big, too impossible, that we can't put into words what we're feeling and hoping and dreaming, fearing. Lord, help us to scrape together a bushel of faith today. And help us to make a real heart connection with you. As we cry out to you, that you would respond to these prayers of our hearts. I pray that we might experience your presence today. And that our children and the children of this church and this community would come to see what God is like through seeing the presence of God operating in our lives. Move in our midst. We invite you to do more exceedingly abundantly than even what we've asked, according to your power that is at work within us. Lord, this is our prayer. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let's rise to our feet, sing the concluding hymn. I'd like to invite us to do the last time that we do the chorus, I'd like to do it a cappella. And I'd like to do it not as a white congregation, but a black congregation, okay? So you have a couple of verses to get black, okay?